Welcome to episode 23 of the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ettner, author, national speaker, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. Each episode takes us deep into the scriptures to discover from God's word the answer to the question, what's the point of being sexually pure? We also discover from the Bible how to get to the point of purity and stay there. Well, if you're joining us for the first time, or you're a regular listener, welcome to this weekly study that is filled to the brim with all the tools from Scripture you will ever need to build a lasting life of biblical purity. In today's episode, we are going to conclude our two-part study of the life of a man named Lot and the results of the self-centered choices that he made. So let's dive right into today's episode entitled, The Fall of a Superman of God, Learning from Lot's Legacy. In last week's episode, we took an in-depth look at Genesis 13 at this man named Lot, the nephew of Abraham. We saw that Lot was a man whom God called righteous in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And yet he was also a man, as we'll see today from our study of Genesis chapter 19, who lived a life that was characterized as anything but righteous. So what lessons can we, what lessons must we learn from Lot's lousy legacy so that we don't repeat the same mistakes that he did? Well, if you have not yet listened to part one of this two-part study, I strongly encourage you to do that first before moving forward with this episode. Now, yes, you'll still get and glean some great truths and principles from today's episode. And I think you'll find it much more meaningful, though, and you will get more out of this episode if you make the time to listen to part one first. But the choice is yours. I think it's safe to say that Lot made some really bad choices in life, and he suffered some very serious consequences as a result. Oh, listen carefully, my friend. If you are not on guard, if you are not continuously focused on the 1 Corinthians 10:31 goal of glorifying God in every part of your life, then mark my words, you will be guilty of making the same horrific mistakes as Lot. You'll also suffer the terrible consequences just like he did as a result of those choices. Now, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. But as Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, whatever you sow, that will you also reap. Any time you put King Me on the throne of your heart, you are destined for disaster. Why? Because King Me makes for a lousy dictator. For Lot, with King Me sitting high and mighty on the throne of his heart, we see in Genesis chapter 19 that Lot chose to move in with the wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I humbly submit that that was a dumb move on his part. Oh, I'm fairly certain that at the time, it made sense to him. Possibly he saw it as a shrewd business decision. I don't know, maybe he even thought he could be a great soul winner in the process. I don't know what his rationale was. But here's what I do know. He made the fateful choice to move in with that wicked city. He purchased a house. He settled in. He permanently dwelt with those sinful, immoral, and evil people. He chose to relax his spiritual guard around them. He let it down. He chose not to protect his heart and his mind. The fact is, Lot made a bad choice to surround himself with bad company, and that resulted in bad consequences. It corrupted the godly ethics and principles that Lot had learned from his uncle Abraham. It destroyed his testimony to the world around him, and it irreversibly shattered his family. Never lose sight of the fact that you always choose your consequences the moment you choose your actions. Let me repeat that. You always choose your consequences the moment you choose your actions. You may recall that we saw in Genesis 13, verse 11, that Lot chose for himself the plain of the Jordan. Now, the scriptures don't say, and they don't indicate that his initial choice to go east had anything to do with Sodom and Gomorrah, at least not directly. but because King Me was sitting high and mighty on the throne of Lot's heart. Because Lot saw nothing wrong with the choices that he was making, Genesis 13:12 tells us that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. I want you to understand the consequences of that choice. Remember, you choose your consequences the moment you choose your actions. By choosing to pitch his tent toward Sodom, every time he opened the flap of that tent, he was daily choosing to allow the wickedness of that city to influence his heart and his home, his faith and his family. Where, my friend, where is your tent pitched? What are you allowing to enter into your heart and your home? What are you allowing to influence and impact your faith and your family? What are you daily choosing to be exposed to? And then what are the ramifications? What are the consequences of those choices? We see in Genesis 19, verse 1, that God sends two of his angels to Sodom to destroy it because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. As they arrive at the city gates, they discover Lot sitting at the gate. Now, I need you to stop here for a moment and think about what I just said. This is highly significant. Lot was sitting at the gate. You see, only members of the town council were allowed to sit at the gate. That's where they conducted their business meetings. Are you catching this? This was an earned position of authority and respect. And in Genesis 19:1, we see Lot sitting at the gate. Lot was on the board of directors, if you will. Somewhere between Genesis 13, verse 12, and 19, verse 1, Lot had chosen to stop living on the outskirts of town, and instead he hiked up his skirts and moved in with them. He chose to stop pitching his tent, and instead he built a house. Somewhere along the line, he became recognized as a leader, and he was voted into office. He had officially become one of them. Oh, my friend, listen carefully. Sin will always, mark it down, it will always take you farther than you ever planned on going. Sin will make you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay, and sin will always cost you more than you're willing to pay. Trust me, it's not worth it. We're reading on in Genesis chapter 19. In verses 1 through 3, we see Lot anxiously, I don't know, maybe even nervously, urging these two holy, godly men to come into his house and spend the night. I wonder why. Was he simply being hospitable? Well, personally, I don't think so. You see, our text says that he pressed them strongly. He very specifically instructed them to rise up early the next morning and go on your way. Now, think about that. Now, admittedly, that's not being very town council-ish now, is it? I mean, here's two potential sources of revenue for the city. Here are two strangers coming into town. Why not wine them and dine them? Show them the sights. Tell them what a great city you have and try to convince them to stay and start their business there. I mean, makes sense, right? I believe that Lot knew that standing before him were two holy men of God. I think he was not only afraid for their safety, but maybe even embarrassed over his situation. I also think that as he hosted his two heavenly house guests, he pretended to be godlier than he was. I can't help but think that he was playing church. You see, verse 3 says, he prepared a feast for them, baking bread without yeast, unleavened bread, and they ate. I wonder, when he had the town council over for dinner, did he prepare that same kind of meal? The scriptures don't say, but I wonder. However, what God does tell us in verse 4 is that sometime that evening, probably as they were clearing the table and sitting down to have some after-dinner conversation, there was a horrible ruckus outside. The scriptures say all the men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city and they surrounded the house. Now, pause for a moment. Let the significance of what I just read to you settle in. Now, we don't know for certain the size of Sodom. I've done a little bit of research, and some experts estimate that the city's population may be well around the 200,000 mark. So conceivably, when you factor in the possible number of women living in Sodom, there were easily thousands of men, scriptures say young and old alike, trying to surround Lot's house, clamoring to have sex with Lot's two guests. Well, I want to suggest for your consideration that Lot may not have simply been on the town council, maybe even president of the council, chairman of the board. Why do I say that? Well, here's my thought process. Simply by virtue of the sheer numbers that surrounded his house, and the fact that the news about these angelic visitors spread like wildfire, I can't help but wonder, was Lot maybe a very popular man in town? And if so, why? Then there's the apparent assumption of the townsmen that they made regarding Lot. You see, in verse 5, it says, they shouted to Lot, "Where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." The structure of the language here seems to lend itself to placing the emphasis upon the assumption that Lot was selfishly enjoying relations with these visitors all by himself. Now, if, and I submit, if that's the case, why would they have made that particular assumption? Could it be that Lot had so surrounded himself with Sodom's wickedness? Could it be that he had so embraced their culture that he himself was a willing participant of their evil, wicked, sinful practices? Well, again, the scriptures don't exactly say, but I wonder. Now, in Genesis 19, verses 6 and 7, it really gets off the rails. In these two verses, we see Lot's response to the request of the men surrounding his house. Listen closely to what these verses say. "So Lot stepped outside to talk to them, shutting the door behind him. 'Please, my brothers and friends,' he begged, 'don't do such a wicked thing.'" Okay, now, I've got to hit the pause button here. It's vital that you catch this. It's critical that you not miss this. Did you hear what Lot just called them? He said, "My brothers, my friends." He used a term of endearment. James warns us in his epistle, James chapter 4, verse 4, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." James 4, 4. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. That's why 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 commands, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not from the Father, it's from the world." So when Lot called those men his friends, his brothers, he was declaring his allegiance, and it wasn't to God. He was revealing his heart, and it wasn't for the Father. Do you remember back in Genesis 13, verses 11 and 12? Do you remember how Lot chose for himself, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom? Do you remember how even back then, he allowed the sinful, God-denying, self-exalting wickedness of the world in front of him to infiltrate his heart and his home, his faith and his family? He is where he is in Genesis 19 because he was where he was in Genesis 13. Choices, consequences. What about you? Where do your allegiances lie? Where is your heart resting? Sure, you can say one thing, but your actions will reveal the truth. You cannot hide what your heart wants. You see, we do what we do because in our heart, we want what we want. Moving on in our story of Lot in Genesis 19, we are about to get our minds blown. You see, after calling the Sodomites his friends, his brothers, Lot then does something incomprehensible, something so evil, so inconceivable, so insane that you find yourself staring at the pages of Scripture in disbelief and utter shock. Say it isn't so. You see, in verse 8, Lot says to the crowd of wicked men surrounding his house, he says to these evil, sinful guys, "Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man." In other words, I have two virgins. "Let me bring them out to you, and you can do whatever you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." Now, wait just a minute. What? Are you kidding me? Okay, I understand the desire to protect your guests, but not your daughters? Really? What kind of father would willingly offer up his two virgin princesses to a group of sex-hungry, wicked men to be gang-raped? I mean, come on! Seriously! In what universe would that be considered to be okay? How on earth did Lot get to this point where he was able to justify that wicked decision in his mind? I submit it all began with the self-centered, self-serving, king-me choices that he made and the direction he chose to pitch his tent. Now, I also find it very interesting how these wicked men responded to Lot's offer of his daughters. In verse 9, they shouted, "Get out of our way! You're a foreigner, an alien, an outsider. You're not one of us. How dare you think you can play our judge? We will treat you far worse than we will your precious visitors." Consider carefully their response. You see, Lot had just called them friends. Lot had just referred to them as his brothers. But did you hear what they called him? A foreigner, an alien, an outsider. They did not consider him to be one of us, one of the boys. Matthew 12:34 reminds us that out of the overflow of the heart, out of the abundance of your thoughts, spring your words. And I want to submit that the words of these men revealed a heart that did not think of Lot the same way he thought of them. Okay, so what about you, my friend? As a born-again believer, as a child of God, as a Christian, how does the world see you? Oh, you may call the world your friend. You may be trying to have one foot solidly stationed on the rock of Christ, while your other foot is precariously positioned on the tipsy, unstable, insecure, rocky boat of the world's approval. But Jesus said in John 15:19, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Don't think for a moment that you can have King Me sitting high and mighty on the throne of your heart. Don't think for a moment that you can choose for yourself, pitch your tent toward the wickedness of the world around you, enjoy intimate fellowship with the sinful world system around you, and still maintain a godly testimony and be in a right relationship with your Heavenly Father. It just won't happen. James 1:8 calls that being a double-minded man or a double-minded woman, and it promises you will be unstable in all of your ways. Well, reading on in Genesis 19, we see that the men of Sodom are now pressing in on Lot. They are ready to do whatever it takes to get their sinful, wicked, evil sexual desires fulfilled. Hold on a moment. Can you relate to that? Have you been there? Have you ever been to the point where you were willing to do whatever it took, no matter what it cost, no matter what the results, just so that you could have those sinful sexual desires satiated? Consequences be damned. You ever been there? Let me share with you a couple more things about Lot's choices before we wrap up today's episode. We see in Genesis 19:11 that the angels struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, young and old, so that they became weary of trying to find the door. Now, I can't speak for you, but for me, if I'm suddenly struck with blindness, my first thought is not going to be, "I still have to find the door. I still have to get to satiate my sexual desires." I would like to think that my first thought would be, "Get me to a hospital, get me to a doctor. Something's wrong. I've got to get this right." Yet even when God stepped in and blinded these guys, Because of their wickedness, they still pursued their evil passions. In a blind frenzy, they wearied themselves trying to find the door, trying to satisfy their evil fleshly longings. Their sinful passions, their wicked desires, their immoral sexual drive was too strong for them to deny. Oh yes, my friend, mark it down. Sin will always take you farther than you ever planned on going, and it will always cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. In verse 12, the angels instructed Lot to find and warn the two men who were engaged to be married to his daughters. Warn them of the pending disaster that was about to unfold. Get them out of there. Now, hold on for a moment. I've got to park on this one for a couple of minutes, and I've got to ask you to think about what I just said. Lot's two virgin daughters were engaged to be married. Verse 14 tells us, Lot went out and spoke to his future sons-in-law who were to be married to his daughters, and he said, "Quick, get out of the city. The Lord's about to destroy it." But the young men thought he was joking. Now, first of all, did you notice where these two fiancés were when Lot finds them and speaks to them? It says they were outside the door. Lot went out and spoke to them. Do you understand what we're reading here? Do you understand what we're seeing? These two men were part of that large group of men surrounding the house. They were part of the group that wanted to commit evil, sinful acts against God's angels. Okay, now, I know I cannot speak for any of the dads that are out there, but I got to tell you, I would not be okay with my daughters marrying such wicked men. But it appears that Lot was. Why? How did he fall so low as to allow such a wicked thing into his home? Well, Genesis 13. He chose for himself. He chose for King Me, and he pitched his tent toward the wickedness, and he allowed it to infiltrate his heart and his home, his faith and his family, day in and day out. Furthermore, in our text, we see that when Lot first went out and addressed the crowd, offering them his daughters to be gang raped, I can't speak for you, but I'd like to think that these two fiancés, these two men engaged to be married to Lot's two virgin daughters, I'd like to think that those two guys would have at least enough gumption to try and protect their bride-to-be. I'd like to imagine that they rushed the porch and pushed back Lot and yelled to these men, "If you want to touch my bride, you're going to have to go through me first." But apparently not. And on top of all of that, when Lot finds these two men, and when he tries to warn his future sons-in-laws, his daughter's fiancés, to flee the coming destruction, scriptures say they thought he was joking. I have a question for you. What does that tell you about Lot's testimony with these two guys? Now, again, I'm working off of an assumption here, but I'm assuming that Mr. and Mrs. Lot had these guys over for dinner at least a few different times. I'd like to assume that they played family board games around the table. Maybe they even went together on some trips and excursions from time to time. I know that's what I would do. I'm not about to let my daughter marry some bum off the street. No, Lot had plenty of time, and he had plenty of opportunity to be a godly example. He had plenty of opportunities to speak biblical truth into the hearts of these men who were about to marry his daughters. But it appears he did not. Why? Because back in Genesis 13, he turned his back on God in favor of King Me's wants, whims, wishes, and desires. He was worshiping a false god in his heart, which led him to living a foul life in his home. And as a result, by the time we get to Genesis 19, Lot saw nothing wrong with the choices he was making or the consequences that would inevitably follow. Let me remind you that Proverbs 14, verse 12 warns us, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Well, unfortunately, the story of Lot has a tragic ending. As a result of his sinful choices, as a result of his lack of biblical leadership in his home, as a result of embracing the philosophy of the wicked world around him instead of staying true to his Creator, Lot's wife died a horrific death. His daughters got him drunk. They committed incest with him, and both of them got pregnant by their father. How could any of this have happened? How could a righteous man, how could a superman of God fall so far and do something so despicable? I submit it began when he chose for himself. It began when he pitched his tent in the wrong direction. Again, I ask you, what choices are you making and whom are they for? Are they for God or for King Me? Where are you choosing to pitch your tent? What are you allowing into your heart and into your home? Though Lot didn't deserve rescuing, God in his abundant grace and never-ending mercy saved that righteous man. God rescued Lot. Again, can you see the application here? Think about all the selfish, sinful, King Me-centered, idolatrous, adulterous choices that you have made in your lifetime. And then think about what each and every one of those individual acts of sin deserves. Romans 6:23 clearly states that the wages of sin is death. The wage, the paycheck that you have earned, that which you deserve, is eternal separation from God. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 tells us that the soul that sins, it shall die. That's what you and I deserve because of our idolatry, our adultery, our worship of a false god. Now think about the amazing grace and the marvelous mercy that God, in his perfect love for you, has extended to you, delivering you from imminent destruction and eternal damnation. That love was demonstrated in Genesis 19 when God chose to rescue righteous Lot, a man who did not deserve rescuing, a man who had chosen to worship himself instead of God. Suppose you had the opportunity to go back in time and stand on that hillside with Abraham and Lot on the day that Lot chose to move east. What if you had stopped Lot before he answered his uncle? What if you had warned him, don't go down there? What if you had told him everything that was going to transpire, all of the self-centered, sinful, idolatrous, adulterous choices he was about to make, as well as the serious consequences that would follow every one of those choices, consequences that would drastically affect not just himself, but his dear wife and his precious daughters? What if you were to tell him all of that? I think I'm safe in saying that I guarantee you he would have looked at you as if you were a purple alien from outer space with a single orange eye in the center of your forehead that was oozing green goo. He would have called you a nutcase. No way on God's green earth would that ever happen. Well, my friend, as you are listening right now to this episode, I am standing on a hillside right here and right now next to you. I'm warning you in crystal clear tones, stop playing around with your sin. Your self-centered, King Me-oriented choices will have far-reaching consequences, not just for you, but for your family as well. Now, I know you think you're in control. I know you believe the worst will never happen to you. I also know you're dead wrong. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot intentionally set up his house and his life so that from the moment he opened the flap of his tent in the morning till the time he closed it at night, he was exposing himself and his family to the wickedness of the world around him, day in and day out. Where is your tent pitched? What are you allowing into your mind, your heart, your home? What is influencing your faith and impacting your family? Peter tells us that Lot's righteous soul was in torment every moment of every day. Do you know why? Peter tells us it was because of the wicked things that Lot saw and heard every single day. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He refused to guard his heart. He refused to take captive his thoughts, and so therefore everything he saw and everything he heard had a negative impact on everything he thought and everything he did. Well, if you'd like to learn more on this topic, I'd like to encourage you to pick up my book entitled, Are You a Superman? How to Become God's Man of Steel. It's available today at Amazon.com, or you can go to our website, thepuritycoach.com. That's www.thepuritycoach.com, and click on our resources link. But I encourage you, get the book, Are You a Superman? How to Become God's Man of Steel, available on Amazon.com today. Well, let me close today's episode with this question. Would you say that the world that we live in today is any better than Sodom and Gomorrah? That same wickedness surrounds each and every one of us. We are daily exposed to that same core issue. We are surrounded by self-centered, pleasure-oriented, God-denying wickedness, and it is contagious. That is why you must always guard your mind. What are you allowing into your tent? What are you allowing your eyes to see and your ears to hear? What is your mind feeding upon every day? Consider this. What you see impacts what you think, and what you think strongly influences what you do.